This will be the third week. If y'all remember, the title was God Knows You and He's Provided For You. Amen? He doesn't provide for you when you get in need. He's already provided for us everything that we could possibly need to do His plan and His will before He ever created the earth, before He ever started time or anything else. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. This is our key text. Let me get over there. God is good all the time, amen? And all the time, God is good. Y'all don't sound real excited about that. Well, y'all want to say God's bad? Gosh, that was a little quicker than God is good. But He is. He's good all the time. And God's plans for us, they're all good. But here in Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. We're going to start in verse 4. Now, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, and He's telling him everything that He's called him to be and to do and all that. But how many knows, and we've already said this, that when God created Adam, God put in Adam all mankind. There's never been a person born into the earth except for Jesus Christ that did not come through the seed of Adam. Jesus came through the seed of God, right? But all mankind, that's how come whenever Adam sinned, all mankind sinned. Therefore, every person that is born, they've been born into sin. That's why the Bible says we must be born again. But the thing about it is, God has a plan for everybody. And He's speaking to Jeremiah here, and it's the same thing for me and you. Verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." But notice what He says there. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. So God has foreknowledge of every person before they ever got here in the earth, because we was in God before we got sent here to the earth, before your mom and daddy ever came together, how they came together, whether it was in a, they do that, what is it, in vitro fertilization now, or just naturally or whatever. God knew every person before we got here. Because He says, before I formed you in the womb, He says, I knew you. He says, I approved of you. I don't know about y'all, but that's good to me. Because a lot of people, even myself at times, has not approved of me. But He says, I knew you, I approved of you. He says, I have appointed you. Every one of us has some kind of an appointment in God, in God's plan. Johnny, I had no clue that you was in my plan, but God did. You had no clue I was in your plan. I didn't know any of y'all was in my plan. My plan was me, Scotty, and my four and no more. But God's plan is always bigger than us. So God knew us before we ever got here in the earth. And God has appointed and He has anointed. He has equipped us and He has given us everything. Right? Let me see what I got wrote down here. Then you go over to verse 18. He says, "For I behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land." Now this is, He's not saying this because this is what Jeremiah is. See, God doesn't call you an overcomer because you have overcome. God calls us an overcomer because He made us an overcomer. He made us an overcomer just like the Bible says. We didn't do anything righteous, but we have been made the righteousness of God once we get in Christ. You didn't do anything right. None of us did. We couldn't. None of our goodness, right decisions, or anything else could make us right with God. But God Himself, through Jesus Christ, has made us righteous. He has made us overcomers. He has made us more than conquerors, even if you never conquer anything. You are. Why? Because you have been made that. Right? So he says here that he made him a pillar, a fortified city, and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land, giving you divine strength, which no hostile power can overcome. Jeremiah could not do this and be this in himself. You cannot either. I cannot either. God's plan we cannot do in our own strength, our own ability. It takes faith, number one, and it takes grace. And it takes following whatever we get on the inside. Listen to me, the number one way that God will lead us and unfold His plan for us is going to be by the inward witness. Because, see, once we get born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, abides within us. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost upon with evident speaking in tongues. When you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes in you. And when He comes in you, His job is to begin to reveal Jesus to us. Jesus said He'll take those things that is of mine, right? In John, He said, and I will reveal them unto you. Everything, He says, He's given us everything that pertains unto life and to godliness. That means this life and also the life that we are to live. So the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, He already knows the plan. The Bible says God knows our thoughts from afar. God is so, He's beginning to become more and more and more amazing to me. That there can be, they say, I don't know, I ain't counted them because I don't know them, over 6 billion people on the planet. God knows every heart, every thought, every plan, everything, every feeling, every emotion, every trial, every plan of the devil, everything, all at one time. That is absolute. Sandy, I can't even hardly keep my own thoughts sometimes without help. That is absolutely amazing to me. And when you think about it, there's no way that God could be running around. And Sandy, when we make wrong choices, changing His plan. Because the plan for you, if it gets changed, it's changed for somebody else. If the plan for me got changed, Johnny, your plan would have had to been changed. Your plan would have had to been changed. You get what I'm saying? Because everything is connected to everybody. You may not run into everybody, but how many knows? Everybody is connected. The Bible says we will be one unified, glorious church when He comes. So therefore, He's not just talking about us here. He's talking about them over there. He's talking about them in India. He's talking about them in Indonesia. He's talking about them in Jerusalem. The whole nine yards. God made the plans for your life, my life, the entire world, universe, cosmos. The Bible says, whenever it says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it does not say people. It says cosmos. When you look up that word, world. See, because Adam sinned, he had everything. He had rule and dominion over abs. There was nothing that he did not have rule and dominion over here in this realm. And see, to know what the last Adam, which the Bible says is Jesus Christ, right? I believe that's over there in Romans 5. Everything he came to get back, you got to go and see everything that the first Adam lost. Jesus did not just come for our salvation, for us to be born again. He came back to get us back into the same relationship and place of authority, right, that the first Adam was. Because the Bible says whenever Adam sinned, Satan became the god of this world. That's why the Bible says when we get born again, we are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Therefore, we must renew our mind and operate according to kingdom, right? Do you realize we're not going to stay in heaven forever? The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Me and you, those of us that's born again and those that are already there, we're coming back down here and we're going to rule and reign because everything is going to be set back up the way that God first intended it to be. And we will colonize the earth with the kingdom of God. Woo, that's good to me. And what we do here and now determines what we will do later. Because he told them whenever he passed out the parable of the talents, he gave one, two, and one five. The one had five went and gained five more, right? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? Then the one that had two, he gained and he made five, I believe it was. Well, then the one that had one, he did what with it? Buried it. It did absolutely nothing. God fully intends for our life to progress constantly. Constantly moving and progressing in him. All the time. Because, see, there's things that he said about us. That's how come you see somebody or even yourself. I've had God call me out in services and the minister call me out in a service and begin to prophesy things to me that I mean was hard for my mind to believe because the state I'm in. I'm not that. But the Bible says God calls those things that's not as though they were. I don't know. That's good news to me. He goes on here. He says, giving you divine strength, which no hostile power can overcome. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you. For I am with you. He's not just with us now. He's in us. And he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, right? Even if your mom and daddy does, he said, I will not. He goes on, prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Now, some people's idea of deliverance is the minute a trial or a test or temptation starts, whoop, God just pulls you right out of it. No. You got to stick with the scriptures. Sometimes God will deliver you before you ever get to it. He'll show you the direction to go around it, the traps and snares of the enemy. There's other times that he will let you go into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't stop them, Johnny. He let it be heated up seven times. Listen, your God's not afraid of fire. He let it be heated up seven times hotter. Why? He can get more glory. And he let them throw them in there. But the Bible says whenever the king looked in there, he didn't see three, he saw four. He said one and is likened to the Son of Man. He delivered them in it. So sometimes hell don't stop in your life, but while you're in it, you got the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And everybody that sees it, they're like, we know there is a God. But he always delivers. And the thing about it is, sometimes that fire is to do a work in you. The Bible says adversity is a chisel in the hand of God. Because every one of us is preordained, foreordained, the Bible says, to be conformed to the image of His Son. To bear the image of Christ. It don't mean our hair is going to be the color of His and all of that. What it means is that man on the inside is going to bear the same image of the Christ. Going to be the same fruit coming out of us that came out of Him. So that when people see us, they don't see us, they see Him. Like Jesus said, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? So we'll be able to say, if you've seen you, Sandy, we saw Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God has a plan for each one of our lives. And everything that's in His plan, He's already provided for that. I told you before, it mentions gold in Genesis chapter 2. Now, God is not running around putting gold in the earth right now. God's not running around making money. God's not running around putting more coal in the earth right now. Y'all get this right? Before He ever created man, He put all the gold in the earth. And we ain't found it all. Before He ever made the man that He knew would use the coal, He made all the coal we could ever possibly... Listen to me, this global warming crap is nothing but crap. It is a money-getting scheme that you cannot stop it. Listen, if we did that over here and spent all of our money that we could for that, do you realize China don't do that? And did y'all notice this summer the dust that came from the Sahara Desert? Did y'all see that? No. Yeah, okay then. Did y'all see over in New York where they was nearly blacked out by the smoke that was coming from Canada fires? Sandy. Now, New York's trying to do all they can about this global warming and the smog and the fire. What? Do you get what I'm telling you? These are schemes of the devil to steal from God's people. Let me tell you something. One day, this world is going to be hot and very hot. The Bible says it will be destroyed by fire. And ain't nobody or global warming or nothing else going to stop it. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, somebody. We'll call it them internet people. Right? Now, so all the gold is here in the earth. All the coal, all the natural gas, right? God's not putting it in here now. God knew, Sandy, down to the last drop of water that we would need. That's what I'm telling you. God is like he's getting bigger in me. I'm seeing him bigger and greater than I have ever seen him before. Every drop of water we would ever need for the whole time we're here, it's here. Every bit of natural gas, every bit of coal, every bit of gold, every bit of silver, all the food is already here. Then you get born again, and he gives you all things that pertains to life and godliness. They're in you. You're not waiting on him to put them in you. They're in you. Where are they? They're in your spirit, and they are hidden. Not hidden from you, but hidden for you. As a means, the Bible says, to revelation. Just like this cap right here. This cap is here, and I put my hand here, and you didn't know this cap was here, Sandy. You would not know anything was there, but it was there the whole time. But when I move my hand, when the Holy Ghost pulls back the veil where you can see, that is revelation. It didn't just get there. It wasn't just now deposited there. It was there the whole time. The Bible says that the earth groans and travails, waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God, which is me and you. Another word for manifestation is revealing. Do you get what I'm telling you? The earth is groaning and travailing, Sandy, waiting on me and you to tell it what to do, like Adam was supposed to have done. Because whenever Adam sinned and the devil became the god of this world was thrown into chaos. And it doesn't like chaos. Anyway, I got to get off of that and get back to what I'm going through here. Before we get off into something that I ain't got time to get off into. Look at Jeremiah 29. Now, we also read, because we don't want to just take what Jeremiah says, we also read a little bit last week, and then the first week, everything that David said. Whenever y'all remember, he said, "Lo, if I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. God, you know my thoughts from afar." Hey, David is the one that said that. So instead of God telling David, David is talking to God and telling God what has been revealed to him about God, right? So it's not just Jeremiah saying these things about the plan and God knowing us and all this. David said it too. You got to have at least two different writers that says the same thing, basically. Maybe not the exact same words, but the same thing, right? Now, so here in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah is the one talking, but he's talking to the captives of God that has been taken over captive into Babylon. And Jesus said, "I come to set the captives free," didn't he, in Luke 4:18? Mm-hmm. Look here what he says. We're going to start reading in verse 10. But Jeremiah is talking to the captives. He says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise to you, causing you to return to this place." Notice what he says. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you." He's talking to his people, not Jeremiah. He says, "That I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope," that means a confident expectation, "in your final outcome." We go through all different kinds of things, trials and tests sometimes of our own making. Been there, done that. Help me, Jesus, not to do that anymore. Then there's some that the enemy sets out there for us, right? Then there's some that comes through people, all things. But God says, "I have a plan for you that your final outcome, Johnny, will be good." And it's also working something on the inside of each one of us. But I wanted you to see there, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified Classic, it says, you know, cast all of our care on the Lord and all that. He says, for he cares for you watchfully. There is not a time that God does not see us, Sandy. It's not like he has to look away at Scotty and then look back at me. He sees everybody on the planet all at one time. And he carefully watches over each one of us and watches over his word in our lives that we put in and will speak, that he speaks to us to perform it. Amen? All right, let's look here at First Corinthians chapter 2, I think I want to go to. Excuse me. There's a lot of lack of money in the earth, and you might say, well, I ain't got much of it. Well, whose fault is that? According to Scripture, I believe it's, what is it, 1st or 2nd Corinthians? I think it might be 1st, no, it might be 2nd Corinthians 9. It says, if you, God gives seed to who? Sower. So if you don't got no seed, evidently you ain't purposed in your heart and mind to be a sower. God told me one time, he wanted me to, this is, we hadn't been saved maybe a few years, and I was sitting there watching Kenneth Copeland one day, and they wasn't talking about money or anything, and all of a sudden, in here, remember what I told you about the inward witness? He does not speak to your natural ears. It can sound like it sometimes because it's so loud, but he speaks spirit to spirit because he is spirit. And on the inside of me, he said, I want you to start sending Kenneth Copeland Ministries $50 a month. You might as well said, send them $1 million a month. I don't have $50 a month extra to send them. I'm choosing, do I pay the water bill or do I pay the light bill? Do I buy this or do I buy a big pack of pinto beans that you can eat on for 3 or 4 days? You understand what I'm saying? I don't have $50. I don't have to have the $50, Sandy. There is not one word of God void of power. What I mean by that, when God speaks something to you, there is enough power in that word. If you need ability, it's in that word. If you need strength, it's in that word. If you need money, it's in that word. Right? So when he spoke to me and told me to start sending them $50 a month, I said, God, I don't have $50 a month. And I did not know the Bible said he'll give seed to the sower. I did not. They said, you don't have to know it. The one that knows it, wrote it, inspired it, it's on the inside of you. You can find it out later. But now if he does give you something, you will find it in this word somewhere if it's really him. I said, okay, God, if you'll send it, I promise I'll give it. Lo and behold, they called Scotty to do a youth service one night at Faith Restoration, where we go to church. And because we go to church there, you know, just like here, you minister, you don't get offerings and things like that. You know, this is your home church. You should put out your gifts and different things like that. So anyway, he goes up there, does a youth night service and all of that. He comes back. They gave him a $50 check. Not $49.99. Not $50.01. $50 check. Oh, we're just thrilled. He's tickled. Woo, we can buy some groceries now, because he can see some ham and different stuff like that, you know, besides pinto beans. I said, no, we can't. What? What do you mean, no, we can't? And I told him the story. God said for me to start sending Kenneth Copeland Ministries $50 a month, and I told him I didn't have it, but if he brought it, I would give it, and this is the $50. See, the Bible says, don't eat your seed. Why? Because, see, you can eat one kernel of corn. But if you'll make it your seed and you'll plant it where God says plant it in good ground, that, I'm telling you just naturally, that one ear, I mean one kernel will bring you an ear, if it's in good soil, about this long with how many kernels on it? A few spoonfuls, right? Or you can eat the one kernel and that's all you got. These is called keys to the kingdom. Keys give you access. See, people think he's a prosperity preacher. No, he's not. He teaches laws of the kingdom about prosperity, because God's kingdom is prosperous. And he says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints, not in the devil's. Anyway, we've got to get off that too now. I'm not on that either. But anyway, it's all good. What did I say, 1 Corinthians 2? That's why John ain't looking good. Gosh, I'm going to have to hurry up. I got to get further than I did last week, because next week's Monty's turn. Gosh. 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 6. And I'm going to read, let's see. I think we'll read part of this in King James, and then I might switch over to the Amplified. But anyway, starting in verse 6 here, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." He's talking about mature, more grown up Christians. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world." The Bible says Satan is the prince, right? "Of the power of the air." It says "that come to nothing or naught. But we speak the wisdom of God," what? "In a mystery." "Even the hidden wisdom," it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you, "which God ordained," what? What? "Before what?" Ah, I told you. "Before the world unto our glory." Woo! He says, verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew." He's talking about Satan and his cohorts. "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Why? Because the devil, we read the scripture in Hebrews, not a creature is hidden before God. Satan is a created being. Demons are created beings. They was created angels, right? They fell. They went with him. They became demons. Sandy, there's not a thought, a plan, anything they have that God ain't already seen it, because they're not hidden from him. Just as our thoughts and our plans, and they're not hidden from God. Why? Because they're created creatures. And he says not one is hidden. Okay, the devil thought that if I can kill Jesus, see, it was prophesied from the beginning. Y'all remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God came and judgment came? God told him, there's one going to come through the seed of the woman that you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Head deals with authority. Right? He was talking of the Christ, Jesus, that was coming. So what do you think the devil thought? He's looking all... I'm not getting on that. Anyway, he's looking... I was fixing to say something else. But he's looking, Sandy, the whole time. All down through every generation, he's looking for that one that he said, that God said's coming. Why? Because I got to do away with him. Because if I don't do away with him quick, he's going to take away my authority. Because God said he would. So he's looking the whole time. But Sandy, he don't know which one he is. That's how come Herod sent out the decree. The devil works through people that will allow him. He sent out the decree, kill them all 2 years and younger. But God hid him, Sandy. The Bible says our life is hid in God through the anointed one and his anointing. Hallelujah. Anyway, so he's looking for him because he knows what's going to happen. So he thinks, if I can kill him, this is going to do away with him and I'll get to be in authority forever. Oh, we had a bad day on that day. The Bible says that it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to put him on the cross and shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, and shed his blood at the whipping post, and shed his blood and water out of him on the cross. Not just for our salvation. Everything that Adam lost. All the authority, all the dominion, all the rule, all the reign, all the plan. Right? But the devil thought if he could kill him, I've got God. I'm not going to say that either. Anyway, hey, you have all kinds of thoughts when you're up here, and you got to discern which one's me, which one's you, all that stuff. But anyway, so we crucified him. Oh, and hell had a party, boy. Woo! We've done it! We got the one that God said was coming, and we did away with him. But 3 days later, Sandy, he come out of that grave. The devil, Johnny, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house anymore. The Bible says Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. That's bad when you don't even got the keys to your own house. Because, see, Sandy, he didn't know that by killing and crucifying Jesus, he made all of us. That he thought he had one to deal with. Now he has millions, billions to deal with. That bruise his head every time we walk in God's plan and God's authority. He goes on here. He says, which they had not had known, they wouldn't crucify the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen. He's talking about this natural eye. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, this on the side of your head. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, I like that when those buts are in there. But, God has what? Revealed them unto who? Us. How? Oh, glory to God. That's how come you can get born again, stay carnal. Quote scripture left and right, the devil ain't afraid of you. And he ain't fleeing, you're yielding to him. Quote scripture left and right, but don't do one thing the scripture says. Right? James says we actually have to be doers of this word if we're going to receive the promises, right? Not just hearers only. Why? You deceive yourself. You know it, can quote it, but you ain't doing it. Therefore, you can't figure out why you're not getting the promises and things God said, right? But he says he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Where's his Spirit? Inside of us. The Bible says, the kingdom of God, know ye not that it is within you. Before you ever got here, Sandy, God said he made a plan for you. Now, you was born into sin, and you must be born again to get into walking in that plan. Doesn't change the plan. God had the plan before the beginning, right? Okay, this is how this works. I'm going to use Scotty for an example because he's the one I know the best, I guess, and how this happened. All right, me and him, we just do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, and we don't care and all that kind of stuff, just like all the rest of y'all probably. Anyway, then one day, now we don't know Sandy's praying for us, and how many knows the Holy Ghost leads you to pray for people at different times about different things. You don't even have to know anything in the natural. That's why I don't tell people my business. If the Holy Ghost wants you to pray for me, he can tell you and you can pray. Anyway, Sandy starts praying for us. She's going to church up there at Faith Restoration. Scotty, he thinks she's some kind of nutty holy roller or whatever, and I don't really know what to think about her, you know. She just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies when I get around her. Anyway, we smoke dope, crack, whatever we do. Travis, at this time, he's not quite a year and a half old yet, but we've been doing this so long, and, you know, we go outside and get in the swing, you know, and we smoke some pot or whatever. Till now, he's saying, smoke, smoke. He's learned that word. Because he just heard it. We didn't tell him that, but he heard it. Because you, how many knows you keep doing something long enough, they learn it. Anyway, and the Holy Ghost starts dealing with us. We don't know this. You don't have to. I said, you can be dumb as dirt and still be right in God's plan. Just follow him. Anyway, we don't know this, that God is dealing with us. But we start having these thoughts, and we would sit there smoking dope and do crack and all this other kind of junk and stuff, and I'm not even going to get into all that. But anyway, And we would sit there stoned and look at each other. God, we need to go to church. Yeah, I know it. We need to go to church. We need to change. Pop you some pills or whatever, you know, chase it down with some liquor, whatever you're doing. I'm telling you honest to God, it's the truth. And we'd do some more, and, you know, God, we need to change. What is that? That is, the Bible says, no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. And you don't have that all the time. God is drawing us. The Holy Ghost is beginning to tell us, I got a plan. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. It's way better than the one you're living. So we're having this thoughts. We need to change. We never thought we needed to change. We wanted to be worse. Because if you're worse and that pride is on you, woo, you're Billy bad. Nobody messes with you. You know? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you try to invent cuss words and a long string of them, you know, to impress somebody, you know, because you're just the baddest thing around. Everybody, the coolest, everybody wants to be over at your house, you know. All this other stuff. Anyway, we would think this day after day after day, and we would tell each other, God, we need to change. We need to go to church. And I thought, go to church? What? I don't want to go to church. I don't do church. I'm not a pansy. You understand? Because to me, church people are like her. They're sweet and talk to you about the book of Revelation that makes me have when she leaves. I have these thoughts. Man, a cave down there. You know, there's a water. I got to have water. Maybe I could hide under that rock over there because all these people's going to be out here trying to kill you and all this stuff. I'm serious. Lo and behold, life gets worse. I leave Scotty from the nth time. Take Travis, go to my mom, load up, go to my mama's house. Well, lo and behold, y'all know this, have heard the story. While I'm gone, he's going to commit suicide, and that's not the first time that he was going to do that. One time, he went to the drugstore and got a whole bottle, big thing of sleeping pills, and took 18 sleeping pills, and they found him down there. His sister had a car lot in Oneonta. They found him down there in his truck inside the car lot around them cars, passed out asleep. They couldn't get him awake. They took him to the emergency room. They had to pump his stomach because they couldn't get him awake. Said 5 more minutes, and they probably couldn't have done nothing for him. You know, so this is not the first time. So anyway, he's going to commit suicide and all that. And all of a sudden, he hears two of his brother's words that they had told him. God loves you, and he'll help you. Who's that? Holy Ghost. He'll bring back to your remembrance the things that you've heard. He heard their voice is what it sounded like to him. So he cries out and he says, okay, God, if you're really real like they say you are, help me. Bam! That's all it took. All Paul said was, who are you, Lord? Holy Ghost comes in. Y'all know the story. He goes, turns the TV on, says anoints the house, and so he gets the Crisco, you know, goes there, throws all the liquor and pot and every pills and everything away. And I'm telling you, I come the next day to bring Travis because I'm working, and he keeps Travis in the daytime because he works. He doesn't work like the middle shift. He's off in the middle of the day or whatever. But anyway, I come over there. The doorknob is greased up. I said, what the blankety blank is this? I went in the house, took Travis. Well, I got to use the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. I go to flush the toilet, and my finger flips off. It's oiled up. I said, what the blankety blank is all this on here? God, blankety blank blank. He don't say a word. I don't know what. I think he's lost his mind. Something, oil is everywhere. Everything is just crazy. 2 weeks later, I get saved. And I tell him, I don't know why I told him this. I just did. He started going to church. He got saved 2 weeks before me. He started going to church with his brother out on the mountain, all that, you know. And I sat at the house because I don't want you and your blankety-blank God and your blankety-blank church. I'm not going. So you don't bother me about that, and I won't bother you about this other stuff that I still do. So anyway, 2 weeks later, I get saved, and I tell him, if you go to church up there where Sandy goes, Miss Nutcase, if you'll go to church up there where Sandy goes, I'll go to church with you. He's like, okay. The plan. I can't tell you why I said that. So we did. The first service we go to up there, it was like, we had been there forever. We don't know anybody but Sandy and her husband at the time. But it was like we knew everybody there. And he knows when you get where you're supposed to be, that's the way it is. When you get somewhere you ain't supposed to be, it's like grinding gears. So we stay up there. Well, I'm not going to get to the rest of this. I can say right now because I got to tell you something else. Okay, the plan's unfolding, right? We were supposed to be at Faith Restoration. We don't know that. I don't know why I said that. I just said it. I don't know why he agreed with it. He's going to church with his brother. He just did. It's the plan. We're supposed to be up there where this nutcase is going to church at. And we get up there. We've never heard Christian music like this. Oh, boy, Jesus. You know, not this. I will fly away. Nothing wrong with it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. It's just when we got up there, that appealed. Because it's in the plan. Lo and behold, we've been saved months. I don't know, 2-3 months, something like that. We're on our way to church one Sunday morning. We're going down the road. And all of a sudden, Scotty looks over there at me. And he says, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. We've been saved months. He says, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. He don't know what he's saying. And I said, carnal, because I know him. See, my mind ain't been renewed at all. I still see him after the flesh, Scotty. But he's a new man. I said, oh, yeah, everybody probably thinks that. And I should have known, Johnny, they didn't, because I didn't think that. I didn't feel that. But that's what I said. See, the carnal mind is an enemy against the plan of God. I'm carnal. I'm thinking carnal. I see him as Scotty, but he's no longer just Scotty, my husband. Now he's Scotty, the man of God, in the plan of God, and that plan's coming forth right here. It's coming up on the inside of him, the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. There's a preach. There's a preacher in there, Sandy. Lo and behold, we get to church. We had no idea. This red-headed man, older man is there, and his name is Brother Smart. Remember him? He's gone now to be with the Lord. His name's Brother Smart. We've never seen him, don't know him, nothing about. Didn't even know he was going to be there. We sit on the front row with Sandy and him. Well, he's preaching everything, and all of a sudden he stops, and he comes over there, and he tells Scotty to come up there. Scotty goes up there, he looks at him, and he points at him. He said, God said to tell you that that thing in you, it's him. Do not listen to things that is told to you that if you don't have something and hear about it. I'm not saying it's not God. Take that, put it over here. Sometimes a timing, it'll come to pass 7-8 years later. But what you get should be a confirmation of what you already have. Because it should be the same spirit telling you what the spirit inside you is already telling you. You get what I'm saying? So he gets that, tells him, you know, and we are like, I'm like, what in the world? Preacher. I don't marry no preacher. Anyway, so lo and behold, he tells him that. Oh, we go home and we're all excited. We don't know what this means. What's a preacher? Well, Brother Brad's a preacher. So I guess he's going to do that. I don't know what he's going to do. Well, he tells Brother Brad. Brother Brad takes him to the jails. Oh, Scotty's just thrilled. I've been to the jails. I'm not thrilled. Anyway, I'm not getting on that. And God told me to go, and I only went for a few weeks. Anyway, I'm not getting on that or whatever. Oh, and he loves it, and people's getting born again left and right. God's using him in the gifts of the Spirit to give words of knowledge and wisdom and different things like that, you know. And woo, he's just having a ball. And then Sunday morning when he gets back to church the next week, he just pops up like popcorn, and he just testifies what God's doing. And I'm thinking, sit down and shut up. You're making people look over here at us. Carnal. That carnal thinking, because I still see him after the flesh. Paul said, we see no man after the flesh anymore. But I'm a carnal. And I still see him. And he's still got problems. Oh, he has got problems. And I see them. So it's hard for me to see him as the new man. So we've been saved 8 months. He's been going to the jail for months. And then Brother Brad finally gives him the license that you're supposed to have to get into the jail. The Bible says your gifts will make room for you. I don't care what you are. Listen, I don't care if you are a convicted felon. If God told you to go to the jail, that word is not void of the power to open that door, to give you the ability, the anointing, whatever you need. He said, those gifts I've put in you, those things I put in you, I'll open that door and can't no man shut it. So he's been going to the jail for months. Then he gets licensed. He's been saved 8 months. What is my point to all this? God didn't just plan at that time while we was on the way to church, start that plan. Scotty, I want you to be a preacher now. That plan was before he ever started the beginning. Scotty just finally got it revealed to him. Now, we're not seeking God for the plan. We don't even know nothing about a plan. We just love God, and we want to pray. Oh, it's so good. We just love God. He's just so good to us. So thankful for Jesus. We just want to go to church every time the door is open. We want to read our Bible. We can't seem to read the Bible enough, and that's all we talk about. That's all you got to do. Go after Him. Have a relationship with Him. And the closer you get to Him, the more of that plan will be revealed in your spirit. And if it's necessary, God will give someone a word or something out here to confirm what He's told you in here. Now, I got to stop because my time is up. But most of y'all have already heard the story. We've been saved only a year or two now. This man named Roy Ralph, he's a prophet. He comes over to Scotty, and he looks at him, and he tells him, he said, there is a lifeline coming from you that holds up the church. He said, and you are the stake, he said, that is being beat down and beat down and beat down. We didn't have a clue what in the world he was talking about. Stake, but now Scotty knew it was confirmation to him. You got that right. Everywhere I turn, I'm attacking him at home because I can't see him after nothing but the flesh. He's being attacked at work, people's crucifying him, all that kind of stuff, making fun of him, calling him names, Bible thumper, all this other stuff. But see, sometimes because what God has for you, just like now, the reason, Scotty, sometimes things get so hard for you is because you are still that stake that has to be beat down even more than it's been beat down before to hold up what God's going to do in this place. And sometimes it gets like it's almost unbearable. But the reason why that is because there is so many and so much that depends on us. See, had we not, I didn't know you was in my plan. You don't know who's in your plan. But God's got people in our plans that sometimes they come in our lives and they may have to go. And there'll be others, they'll come and they'll stay. But there's some reason that God hooks us up with certain people. I got to stop because I ain't standing back there at the back. I hate to do that too. I mean, you get on a roll, you know, and you just got to stop.